A few years ago, when the GDP was growing at less than 2%, we were told by politicians and economists to accept that as, quote, the new normal. When President Trump set his goal of a GDP growth in excess of 3%, those same people declared, no way, impossible. Well, in a way, they were right. See, the second quarter GDP was actually 4.1%. Now those same head shakers are claiming that this rate of growth isn't sustainable. Joining us now to discuss what created this growth, what can preserve it, and what can place it at risk is Stockton University professor of finance, whose written work can also be found at Newsmax, The Daily Wire, townhall.com, Dr. Michael Bustler. Thanks so much for being here today, Doctor.
Hi, Chris. How are you? It's my pleasure to be here.
Stockton University's website, stockton.edu, and Dr. Right. Bustler is on Twitter at mbustler.com. You can also read his writings, as I said, various locations. If you just Google Michael Bustler, B-U-S-L-E-R, you can keep up with his views on situations that are occurring with some very interesting, educated insight, too. So when you look at what's the significance of a solid 4.1% base as far as the current state of the economy is going, coming off its recent past?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned before, a lot of people are saying, is this sustainable? My view is not only is it sustainable, the rate of growth will increase. I think in the third quarter of this year, we're probably going to get a number in the 4.5% range, and it's not out of the question to see next year the rate going even higher. And there's a very simple reason for that. The prior administration did not set economic growth as a top priority. The prior administration's priorities were to cure perceived social injustices. For instance, it's an injustice that everybody doesn't have health care. It's an injustice there's not enough food stamps to go around. It's an injustice there's not enough welfare to go around. It's an injustice that big business takes advantage of consumers. So their focus was on solving those perceived social issues rather than concentrating on economic growth. Now, the result was President Obama is the only president in U.S. history to serve a term in office where he didn't have at least 1 year where economic growth exceeded 3%. As a matter of fact, we haven't had 3% annual economic growth since 2005. We haven't had 4% annual growth since the year 2000. So President Trump, when he got into office, he said, look, the most important priority or the top priority for economic policy should be to stimulate the economy and bring the growth rates up. The first thing he could do without any legislative approval was through executive order was to get rid of a lot of burdensome and counterproductive regulations, which he did as soon as he got into office. From the second quarter of last year till today, the economy is growing at over a 3% rate. That wasn't good enough for him. So he said, let me look back in history and see what Ronald Reagan did, what Kennedy and Johnson did, and even what Bill Clinton did in the late 1990s. He said, look, tax rates have got to go down. So he copied his tax cut after what Reagan did in 1981, went into effect in 1982. By doing that, Reagan's tax cut was put in 82. In 1984, the economy grew at an annual rate of 7.5%. So Trump said, let me copy that. He lowered taxes for every taxpayer. So consumers, middle class, had more disposable income. That's why consumption is going up. He cut taxes for the upper class also, and more importantly, in terms of growth, he cut taxes for corporations. That meant there was more investment capital created in a capital-intensive economy like we have today. It's crucial that we have new capital being created for growth. The tax cut went into effect in January. It takes a couple of months for these things to filter through. By the second quarter of this year, the economy is growing at a 4% rate. This is going to have a multiplying effect, I think, by the number comes out for the third quarter, which comes out about 10 days before the November election this fall. I think the number is going to be probably in the 4.5% range. And as I said, it's not out of the question to see higher growth rates next year. Now, there's a lot of variables here, and there's some things that could slow this down, but I think the most likely scenario is that 4.5% growth next quarter and even higher growth rates at least next year and maybe a couple of years into the future.
In order to maintain and further grow that 4.12, as you said, a 4.5, maybe even greater, how much care and caution has to be taken by the administration regarding tariffs? And could tariffs endanger that growth?
Yes, they could. I'm a free market economist. You mentioned the word tariff or taxes, my stomach starts to churn a little bit. President Trump's goal is to have free trade that is fair. His ideal goal would be to eliminate all tariffs on anything. The problem is the trade agreements we have with the European Union, with Canada and Mexico and NAFTA, and separate agreements with other countries are all slanted in favor of our trading partners. For instance, Europeans produce a car in Germany or France, sell it in the U.S., we charge them a 2.5% tariff. If we make a car in the U.S. and sell it in Europe, they charge us a 10% tariff. Well, the result is we're buying a lot of their cars, so money is flowing out of the country when we pay for it. They're buying fewer of our cars because of the high tariff, so not much of their money is coming into our country. We end up with this negative balance of trade to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars every year. President Trump said, I've got to fix this. Now, he's not a politician. He's a business person. A politician, seeing this problem, would convene some kind of a summit with economic experts in the fall. Then they'd come back next year and discuss it a little bit further. Then we'd meet again for a third summit. And before you know it, you kick the can down the road to the next guy to worry about. President Trump is a business person. A business person sees you have a problem, knows you have to confront it right away, very simply because it's going to affect your bottom line, and business people are bottom line oriented. So President Trump wants to resolve this trade issue as soon as possible. How do you do that? You've got trading partners that are reluctant to come to the table because they don't want to renegotiate anything. Everything is in their favor. So how do you do that in business when you have a reluctant trading partner? You create a sense of urgency. That's what Trump is doing with these tariffs. They'll cause more pain to our trading partners than they will to us, although admittedly there will be some short-term pain in the U.S. But the purpose is to bring these people to the table to negotiate better deals. 2 weeks ago, the head of the European Union came after the negotiation. They said, we're both going to work toward zero tariffs on everything, which is Trump's goal. Last Thursday, the president of Mexico said, look, we've got to meet with the U.S. and Canada quickly to resolve this NAFTA issue. So the purpose of these tariffs is to bring our trading partners to the table as quickly as possible so we can resolve these agreements and get something that not only is free trade, but truly fair. And that will put the U.S. in a much stronger position well into the future.
Having our time with Dr. Michael Bussler, professor of finance at Stockton University. Stockton.edu is their website. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. And as you said, too, it's really just a matter of bargaining from the position of strength with the understanding of saying to our trading allies and trading quasi-allies, we have something you want and something you need, our money. You want to keep getting it, then let's sit down and make things more level and we'll keep giving it to you.
That's exactly right. An analogy might be we're playing a baseball game and we get three outs per inning. For whatever reason, we give Canada and Mexico four outs per inning because I guess we want to stimulate their economy and I guess be a good citizen. I'm not sure why these agreements came about so lopsided in the first place. But so we get three outs per inning. They get four outs per inning. A couple of years go by and you realize we're losing every baseball game. So when they got to the G7 in Canada, President Trump said to Prime Minister Trudeau, listen, we've got to play by the same rules here. You're only getting three outs from now on, not four. He said, well, that seems to make sense. Then he goes back to his constituents and the dairy farmers say, wait a minute, you can't do that. The U.S. is so efficient at producing dairy products that they can make something and sell it to us for, say, a dollar. It costs us $3.50 or more to do that. So Canada has a 270% tariff on dairy products. So something that would sell for a dollar has to pay a $2.70 tariff. Now it's up to $3.70, and that's where the Canadian dairy farmers want it, and they say it's necessary for them to compete. So Trudeau, who had agreed with Trump about leveling the playing field, a couple of days later, he comes out and says, wait a minute, I can't do this. I got to keep some of these tariffs on. So it's going to be very difficult for President Trump to negotiate this, but he's creating a sense of urgency by what he's doing, which is exactly textbook business theory. Create a sense of urgency, bring the trading partners to the table, let everybody see what we need to do here, and I'm fairly confident that he's going to come out in the end with some very free and very fair trade deals that, in spite of some short-term pain this summer and fall, will lead to some real long-term gains for U.S. manufacturers.
He is professor of finance at Stockton University, stockton.edu.com. He also writes for Newsmax, The Daily Wire, townhall.com, and other places. Dr. Michael Busless, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you. My pleasure.